right, welcome to another edition of the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM. I did it without stumbling. All right, with me is Mike Gallagher, the Santa County News, stopping in for the show. We are live on the air at this 5:35 mark p.m. Also, hi, first of all, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah.
Got the deadline working on it right now, right?
All done. We got it all wrapped
really?
Up. Yeah. We didn't, you know, we had Brown City football, Marlette volleyball, a couple of other things kind of sprinkled in there. But heavy Brown City and Marlette coverage this week. So
also on the phone from Chuggeter Sports, Channel 1, webcaster, the one and only Jonathan Bisher.
The one and only is correct because I've never met another one like me.
JB. Man, this guy has been like the Muppet Animal all day today, Gallagher.
What does that mean?
Just won't stop.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He just won't stop.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
When people ask me, why did you ask me, did he take his Ritalin? Because he needs it sometimes. Believe me, I used to take it. Yeah, so.
But Ben, in our group chat, I asked if I had a long weekend, and I said, no, I fell asleep at 6:30 at night in my recliner.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. He goes and goes, and then he tires himself out.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens. All right. By the way, no bowling tomorrow for the Melody Lanes Thumbtuggeter Sports Team. We are still in first place, hanging in there because of firearm deer hunting season tomorrow. JB, will you be hunting tomorrow?
Yeah.
You got a spot already?
Yeah, we're going to wing it.
All right. And have you gotten a buck or a doe every year? What's the record here? So.
I am 2 for about 12.
Ooh. Wow, and that's a lot of Bisher farmland out there.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. It's farmland, not hunting land.
Okay. All right, so here we are. We had some coverage area teams in action for high school football. At least in our immediate coverage area, we had the Brown City Green Devils. They went to Martin again, and they were defeated 42-8. That was on WBGV 92.5 FM, going down in defeat. In the state semifinals in Division I, we'll talk about this game with the stat-wise, but let's talk about the fact that, hey, first year in eight-player football there, Mike. A lot accomplished in your first year alone, not knowing what to expect when you come into eight-player football. But like many Thumb Area teams, I think first year in eight-player football, I think there's a record where they have at least made it to a regional championship or a state semifinal every year for a first-year newcomer in the NCTL,
yeah,
or
our,
independent.
Yeah, our teams in St. Lac County have seen a lot of success when they made the move to eight-player football. Obviously, CPS being at the inception of eight-player football, winning their back-to-back state titles. But then Deckerville in their first year playing eight-player, winning the state title. And then Peck the year after that. So it's nice to see Brown City join that success. And this is actually how I started my story for this week's, one game. Brown City won one game last year. And you flip it to eight player this year, and you're one game away from the state finals. So, I mean, that's a lot more fun, you know, when you're winning games and you're winning playoff games and you're hosting playoff games, as opposed to struggling through an 11-player season where, you know, the injuries mounted up and you had some young guys out there and you only end the season with one win. So I'm sure Brown City really enjoyed the season, and by all accounts, it seems like it was a great move for them.
Yeah, they had some big wins against some pretty tough teams, played an independent schedule, was able to take on some NCTL teams, one of the strong ones they ended up meeting in the playoffs. That includes Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian, and Deckerville back-to-back. So, for all the NCTL naysayers, yeah, they were legit.
Yeah, well, and it was nice. I think for, you know, people like us where we covered Brown City throughout the season and we saw them play those teams like Messick and Sutton's Bay and even Peck to open the season.
And Martin.
Yeah, I think we knew that Brown City was legit. But for those people that, you know, didn't get a chance to see them or, you know, to be able to see them match up against some other local teams kind of put into context how good Brown City actually was, I thought that was really interesting because also, you know, they play K-Pack at the end of the season.
And Peck in week one.
Peck in week
so
one,
four
Oakland
NCTL
Christian,
teams.
Deckerville. Yeah. So, and we're hoping to see Deckerville to, or sorry, Brown City join the NCTL next year, and I think they'd be a perfect fit for the Stars. I'd love to see him play Deckerville every year. I'd love to see him play Kingston every year.
Or Peck, rivalry right
That's
there.
Another one. I hope they keep that one on the schedule. Yeah. I think, you know, unfortunately, the score was a little lopsided.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Peck can close that gap a little bit in the upcoming years. But I love that rivalry, and I think it's a great way to kick off the season. So hopefully they can keep that one on the schedule as well.
JB, you saw Brown City, but also the fact you think they should come to the NCTL or, you know, be brought in because of the fact that Flint International pretty much, you know, we hate to have this guessing game with them. Are they going to have a team or not? And actually, I think the NCTL is kind of tired of it.
I completely agree with that. You know, the NCTL stands for North Central Thumb League, so it makes sense to have teams from the Thumb in it. So I would only imagine them taking Brown City in, whether that's adding another team that maybe makes the switch to eight-player, or maybe booting one of those teams that are kind of on the fringe of the Thumb, like a Genesee, like a Flint International, out on their own. You say, hey, go join one of those other leagues or an independent league, but it would only make sense for Brown City. Then they're not going to have these 3-4 hour drives and away games, and we really get to see how good the Thumb is every year, because Brown City came in this year and they set the bar high for themselves.
Also, we had another coverage area team on Friday night. The Channel 2 Thumb Tugger sports crew, new this year, we brought him in, Phil Nickel, Mikey Smith, and the newcomer John Crazier, is that what how we say his name? Crazier?
Yeah, Crazier.
Crazier, okay. And he actually played at Ubley, apparently, right?
Yep, he went to Ubley. He was a few years older than me. I think he was out of high school by the time I got into high school.
Oh, okay. So,
he might be Mike's age. We're not going to detail how old that is for Mike's sake.
I'm pretty old. I think I'm the oldest. We were trying to figure out, am I the oldest member of the TSA or is it Christian? I'm 51, so we're...
Christian's got you beat.
Yeah,
me?
Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. The old cranky old man.
Yeah.
The meat, so. All right, and the Lakers did fall to New Lothrop. Final score 29-20 in that game. Listening to the game, and of course, it was quite cool for the guys to deal with the game, but they got the game done in cold conditions. They were able to be out there and call it, but apparently I think penalties probably hurt Lakers once again in this game from what I was listening to. But they found a way to come back. It looked like it was going to get away from them, but they come in the second half, and boy, they come right back in that game. And they were only down by 9, you know. You make a couple touchdowns easy like that, like they were doing in the second half. They were, you know, could have been right there. But some costly penalties didn't help them. New Lothrop were just a little too strong, a little bit too war. But, again, that's a team. Kind of warranty, you know, at that point, are they legit? Also, we're talking this legit thing. I thought they were, yeah.
Oh, for
yeah.
sure. And especially when mm-hmm. you go toe to toe with a team like New Lothrop, that's a team that's consistently great in the playoffs. So to even be in the conversation with them, that's a great performance from Lakers. Another great season for them with Coach Levasseur in his second year now, to win the Greater Thumb West. To go 8-1 with your lone loss coming in non-conference play, just a great building season for them, and I personally see them continuing to trend upwards.
Do you? I mean, how many players do you think are coming back here, JB, from that squad? I mean, or is the JV program pretty healthy?
They lose quite a bit this year. Now, with that being said, it looks like Coach Levasseur's kind of got this program, you know, the type of program that's going to reload. It looks like, but you know, they're going to lose their workhorse Ethan Wisner, their quarterback Connor McCain, who ended the season injured. He's going to be gone.
Broken leg, right? Is that what happened?
Yep. Yep. Broken leg. They're going to lose their best offensive lineman in Luke Braun, and they're going to lose their top receiver in Michael Good. So they're going to lose a lot of key pieces, but, you know, you expect Lakers with Coach Levasseur, you know, just reload, get this thing ready to rock and roll and see what they can do next year. You know, this is back-to-back years. They made it through regional finals, and they pushed last year, Paloma Westphalia, who was the state champion, to the brink. And then they're right in there with New Lothrop, who, like Mike said, year in, year out, seems to make a playoff run. And, you know, right there, shorthanded without their quarterback, you give the ball to the big man in the area, and there's a reason why Ethan Wisner is one of the best running backs in the area, because that kid is tough.
Yeah, and also Jay Sears, is he gone after this year now?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll have to look that up. But congrats to Lakers on making it this far. you know, tough go at it. They did compete against one of the best area teams that can consistently is in that deep at the playoffs. I mean, Ubley, for sure, has met them many times in the past also. Speaking of the Ubley Bearcats, they are still undefeated. They hosted Fowler on Saturday afternoon. You did that game there, JB, along with Ashley Winter-Palmer. Brandon Deacon's out there with you. And Ubley continues just to rip everybody and roll over them, and that's what they did against this Fowler team.
Yeah, Ubley's on a different level right now. The game starts, you blink, next thing you know, it's 28-0 at the end of the first quarter, and Fowler's maybe got 30 yards of offense, and Ubley is just cruising. They're doing it in a variety of ways of running the ball out of their T formation. So nothing's changed, and Ubley's still doing it in ways we've never seen before.
Here's the other crazy stat. I've never seen him play yet. I have not been able to see him because I passed the game off to some of the other media when they kind of lost the game. So they kind of asked, hey, can we go do this game, you know, instead of since you're going to be on. So I said, yeah, I'll switch over to Marlette, you know.
Right.
You come over and do the Sandusky Ubley game. So, you know, that was the chance I would have gotten to see him, but you got to see him.
I have not seen him this year. It's a situation where they play against two of my teams, Sandusky and Marlette.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing against Sandusky and nothing against Marlette, but you know that they're probably not going to win that game.
Okay.
So when you're picking your games
at that point,
right?
Yeah.
When you're picking what games you go to on Friday, you kind of want to pick one where you think your team has a shot at winning. So no, I have not had the opportunity to see Ubley. I'm waiting to see him on Bally Sports. When they're in the state finals.
Look at you.
You know,
that
maybe,
is a bold statement.
I'll just watch them on TV.
Gallagher, that's a bold statement. You know, when you hear
it. That's a big fiction there.
Yeah. We're not going to let JB say it. You know?
Right, right.
I think we'll let you say it since, you know, you're not really writing about him too much.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty safe bet, so.
I might have to stop at the casino, maybe. I don't know. But you can't do that.
About stopping in. I didn't realize that Gun Lake Casino was right next to Martin.
That was
very tempting on the drive home Saturday.
Speaking of legit, we found out that Martin got over that hump to get to the state semifinal over in Lenawee Christian the week before they defeated Brown City. And, yeah, they're legit. They're going up against Merrill, who came back down 20-8.
Yeah, that should be a great state finals game. Without knowing anything against Merrill, I'd have to say Martin's got to be the favorite. That team was impressive. They were very impressive.
We asked the coach when he came up, the Martin Clippers coach. And, by the way, they were great hosts to us.
Yes.
Great
yep.
host, Mitchell Gabriel, the athletic director, and the coaches and the press box, all the folks were great. Although we actually accidentally made a lady fall down the bleachers.
Eddie.
It was
an accident. We were trying to hang us. We'll explain later. We'll explain later.
They're not going to invite you back.
No, they were great. No, they were great.
Yeah.
The Onion Kings.
I love it.
Yeah. But JB, so we'll get back to Ubley, but we'll be covering, you'll be covering, I'll be helping out also on the Thumb Chugger Sports Channel 1 at thumbchugger.com. It'll be the Ubley Bearcats taking on Iron Mountain. You could say almost an away game because it's being played in Petoskey, but it's a neutral site.
At least it's not in Iron Mountain. I mean, that'd be...
At least it's not Marquette.
Right.
What's that, JB?
At least it's not Marquette.
It's true. You know, but, you know, it would have worked out. It would have been cool to see some eight-player football up there at the same time, you know.
That's what
I'm going to miss out on.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, JB, me, and Gallagher are going to talk a little bit about volleyball. And then when we come back at 6 o'clock hour, we'll get right into the deep and gritty of the football recap. So.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Stop by Jones Equipment Rental Sales and Service in Fort Gratiot today.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Stop by Jones Equipment, rental, sales, and service in Fort Gratiot today.
Short break there, Mike Gallagher. I know you wanted to go out and cool off, I'll say.
Yeah. I'll do that at the news break, yeah.
Cold temperatures.
We'll be all right, yeah.
Man, the cold came back out of nowhere, man.
Yeah.
Like late Friday night.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Daylight savings time hits,
and it's dark and cold and rainy and just miserable out there.
So we have some time here. What we're going to do in this segment, being that we have a little bit of time here, we are going to talk a little bit about the high school girls volleyball, some couple teams still in action in our immediate Thumb Sports Writers Media Association coverage area, the North Branch Lady Broncos. This is a real treat. They're playing in Port Huron at the SC4 Fieldhouse. It's an early game. I suggest you go out there after the game. You'll still have plenty of time. Go downtown Port Huron, have a good meal, enjoy a good volleyball game, because this is where you get to the quarterfinals. You're seeing the best teams right now in action right now.
Yeah, well,
in the quarterfinals.
If you haven't been down to SC4 in a while since they've opened that field house, I'd highly recommend checking it out. It's a beautiful facility, and it's a great place to play volleyball. It's a great place to watch some volleyball. And, you know, North Branch, if there was ever a team to go out and watch, it would be North Branch, because they're so impressive, and you know, they're pushing for another state title. They knocked off Pontiac Notre Dame Prep last week,
was a big obstacle for them
it
to
was.
Finally get through.
Yes, because that was the team that beat them last season in regionals, and Notre Dame went on to win a state title. So for North Branch to get over that hump, that was huge. But even in districts, Imlay City gave them a good run. Croslex faced them in the finals. You know, and that's a tough district. You know, when you got Imlay City, Croslex, and North Branch, along with some other BWAC teams thrown in there, that's a tough district to get through. And so, I mean, North Branch is battle tested. They've had some tough matches, but they've come out on top. And I'm looking forward to checking them out on Tuesday.
Yeah, you're doing some special coverage.
I'm going to be helping out one of our TSA members.
The Tuscola County Advertiser, Scott Bowlesby.
Yeah.
He also does games for the radio 92.1, our competitor, friendly competitor, I could say.
Right, well.
Over in Carroll, because they got a big game. They got Frank and Moofin. Is it Millington still in the mix?
Or? Millington is
Well, they
out,
lost. That's right. 6-0
yeah,
defensive.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, a pick six.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not how you want to lose.
That's a tough one. Yeah. But yeah, Scotty.
But they got Frankenmuth Eagles.
Right, yep. But Scotty's got two teams playing tomorrow. He's got Cass City Redhawks. They're also playing in the quarterfinals.
Let's mention them real quick. And the North Branch Lady Broncos. They're both in his coverage area. But the Cass City Redhawks plays in the Greater Thumb Conference. Big win for them last week. Now they're in the quarterfinals here. So that's a huge, big step for them, isn't it? Have they ever been this far?
This is their first regional title since 1977. So last season.
Amy Cuthrell even born?
Right.
Just a little tyke, maybe.
Right. So last season they made it to the regional finals, and they lost in a classic match to Reese, five set match. And you know, as we all know, Reese went on to win a state title. So for Cass City, you know, this year was their year, and it sounds like they just dominated at the regionals last week. You know, they had some tough competition there, but to win a regional final in three sets, that's pretty impressive. And I think, you know, most of the girls that were on the team last year, when they suffered that tough loss to Reese, they're back this year. So they know what it takes. They have some great senior leadership. They got some great young players. So I wouldn't be surprised to see this team make a run to the state finals.
Yeah, we're in the quarterfinals for girls volleyball. That's Division III.
Mm-hmm.
And Division II, that's where North Branch Lady Broncos will play in. And that's tomorrow. If you want to make it out there, Cassidy's playing in Burton Bendel.
Yes.
Which is Flint, basically, Dort Highway. You go down that way. So.
Yep. Burton Bendel, another beautiful facility.
It is, isn't it? I love the basketball court there, man.
Yep.
You got the scoreboard up top. You know, you got little mini scoreboards on all the walls around you there. And we've seen Peck there. We've seen some girls' basketball games
Millington
there.
Millington there, Kingston, Brown City, USA, volleyball a couple years ago.
You got the machine shop right around the corner to stop at.
Yeah.
You also got those nice gentlemen clubs, too, so for a meal.
Right.
For a meal.
Yes. I'm looking forward to seeing how Cass City does because they'll be facing off with Royal Oak Shrine Park, the team that defeated Marlette in the regional finals last week. And they were a good team. You know, Royal Oak, that's a good team. It should be a good matchup. Obviously, I was kind of hoping for a Marlette-Cass City quarterfinal. I think that would have been awesome. That would have been huge for the area. It just wasn't meant to be this year.
Well, but, you know, some success for Marlette Lady Red Raiders, however, this year.
Yes, yeah.
Greater Thumb East.
Just a fantastic
title,
season
right?
for Marlette. Yeah, they went undefeated in Greater Thumb East Conference play. They got over the hump in the district because, you know, this is a team that's been building for a couple years now. They've been in the district finals 3 years in a row now. The first, you know, so 2 years ago they made it into the district finals, and they were a fairly young team. And at that point, that was when Brown City was pretty much dominating that district every year.
Yeah.
I believe they won 9 straight district titles.
Brown City still did pretty decent in the playoffs.
Yes.
Too,
so. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Brown City wins that one. Marlette, you know, kind of just happy to be there. Last season, I think they went into the districts expecting to win it. They were playing on their home court. They played great all season. They finished second in the Greater Thumb East last season. But they ran into Sandusky, which was playing some of the best volleyball I've seen. You know, Sandusky, they had to win 3 games in that district, and they swept all 3. And I think Marlette was pretty disappointed with that result.
Yeah.
So to see them come back from that and just take care of business this year, you know, they start off the season with a second-place finish at the Hatchet Invitational, which is a humongous tournament for the area. And then you take first at the Vassar Invitational, first at the Caro Invitational, and then just take care of business in the Greater Thumb East. And then, you know, they were able to bring home a district title. They won their regional semifinal game. That's the first time they've done that since 2009. And they just ran into a great Royal Oak team. That's a team that's won the regional finals 3 years in a row now. But overall, just a great season for Marlette. Great coaching job by Coach Brandy Bishop. And just great seniors on the team this year.
Yeah.
Holly Hartwell, Callan Keys. You know, just a great group of seniors. And you know, they'll be back next year. You know, they have some
they got a good nucleus going
on
here.
And I think it's not only the nucleus, but just the way that the program's being built back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got great numbers within the program. These girls are seeing the success that the program is having, and you know that's just going to make them that much better.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be a very good competitive Greater Thumb Conference where you just don't know.
Right. Well,
with 3 or 4 teams playing in that conference, you just don't know. Just like the BWAC in football, you just didn't know.
You know, you look at Ubley, and Harbor Beach; they're consistently in the mix. Brown City, they had a down year last year, but they're trending back up. We saw what Sandusky did in the postseason last year. And then you look at a team like KPAC, that's who Marlette played in the district finals this year. So, I mean, top to bottom, the Greater Thumb East is a pretty solid conference right now. So for Marlette to go 12-0, that says a lot about this team.
That's the Greater Thumb Conference, the high school girls volleyball. So Cass City in action against Roy Oak Shrine. That would be at Bendel High School. That starts at 7 p.m., I think.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Don't call me. North Branch, Mount Morris in Division 3, SC4 Fieldhouse, St. Clair County Community College. My alma mater, by the way, and some of yours.
Yeah.
That's a 5 p.m. game tomorrow. All right. Top of the hour news and information coming your way. We'll be right back.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Stop by Jones Equipment, rental, sales, and service in Fort Gratiot today.
All All right. Welcome back to the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. See, I'm already in my thumb tugger sports mode because I...
preparing for the weekend.
For the weekend, yeah. And I almost said that. But that's okay. We've been great partners here since I've come over to the radio.
Yeah.
2019. Jonathan Bisher back with us on the phone. Some good talk there in volleyball. Quarterfinals tomorrow and Tuesday. And then, by the way, all the state semifinal games and high school girls volleyball and state championship games still take place in Battle Creek, Kellogg yes. Arena.
Yeah. Awesome. So, awesome venue. Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah, so hi. So we had Algonac in Battle Creek for a state semifinal, and we caught Brown City and North Branch and watched North Branch win the state championship
nice.
There. We were able to catch it just in time, and it was awesome. Yeah,
yeah.
So.
I covered. Go ahead, JB.
I watched my sister there in 2007, I think it was, play in a state final game.
And did they win that or no?
No, they lost.
They were runner up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been
there
a few times.
Let's be honest.
A few times there covering USA during their runs. They made it to the state finals. I wish I was around working at the Santa Ana County News when Brown City made their run. But we'll be back. We'll see someone make it down there.
Well, a team that's back in the state semifinals once again is the Ubley Bearcats. Last year they were in state semifinals, lost to Beale City 12-7, a close game in that one. We covered that game. They were also the state finals, state semifinals also, where they actually played in January, coming off from November, where I remember that was a cold night in the press box in Flint Beecher. Me and JB were there for that one a couple years ago.
That was in November, and then we resumed in January.
Yeah, January 8th, Carson City Crystal, Johannesburg Lewiston, and then, of course, Centerville. They lose to 22-0 in that one. But then in 2019, state semifinal, losing by 1 point. Are you seeing a pattern here right now, JB? Now we're back here at the state semifinal against the Iron Mountain Mountaineers. Just that name alone, you know, sounds pretty tough. And that's a tough league, by the way. They had some pretty good teams.
That name alone, and they're from the UP, which means there's some tough big boys. So this is going to be a tall, tall task for the Bearcats. But if any team's up to defeat the Iron Mountaineers, it's probably going to be Ubley because they are just in a different category right now. Paul Evans put it the best when I talked to him Saturday. He goes, I've been covering football here for a long time. He goes, I don't know if I've seen a team comparable to this right now. I mean, if you look at the numbers, they just prove that they are statistically one of the best teams in the state.
All right, 4,409 yards total so far, rushing-wise. Over 400 rushes, according to the latest the numbers that JB, Jonathan Bishop, just sent to us via the coaches and the team from Ubley. And, man, that's a lot of yards. And they do pass. They do pass if they have to. Not too much, though. About 300-plus yards receiving-wise, they've been able to throw down the field. So, you know, if they got to use it, they'll use it against this Iron Mountain Mountaineer team. But let's talk about the game here, JB. You're at this game, of course, covering the game. Big win for Ubley, 49 points, defeating Fowler on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, 49 points. I mean, they just absolutely shot out of a cannon. I think teams are going to learn. I would hope Iron Mountain learns. If you win the coin toss, do not defer to the second half because you will be down 7-0, it looks like. Fowler won the coin toss. They had a deferred. Sure enough, they were down 7-0 before they touched the ball. On the year, Ubley has outscored their opponents 252-6 in the first quarter. So you're about guaranteed to be down 7-0 before you touch the ball if you defer to the second half. Even if you do take the ball, you're more than likely not scoring on your very first drive. And it's just appalling, these numbers that Ubley is putting up this year.
All right. Tell me what happened in this game scoring-wise and what they did against Fowler. Fowler did get a touchdown in this game, by the way. So they did score 7 points.
Yes. This game, you know, we're so used to seeing Ubley run the middle trap with such success and off tackle. Mark Heilig was such a big success this year. But Fowler, you know, you talk to Coach Sweeney, he gives them all the credit in the world. They looked at that tape from when they played Saginaw MLS in the district finals, and they went to take away their off tackle stuff, and they 100% did that. They took away Ubley's bread and butter off tackle, and all Ubley did is, hey, we're going to run our best athlete on the edge in space. If you guys got 10 guys in the box, we're going to make it a one-on-one about 20 yards downfield, and Peruski absolutely won that battle. If Coach Sweeney took what Fowler gave him, and it worked to perfection for Ubley. I mean, Evan Peruski, 10 carries, 268 yards, and 4 touchdowns on offense. He also had 2 interceptions on defense, 1 return for an interception. So it was really the coming out party for the junior quarterback this year. He hadn't had the season coming into this game, and just like that, he's propelled himself to the team's leading rusher. He only trails Hiley by 6 touchdowns. He's got 20 touchdowns on the season, while doing this all on 65 carries in the season. So over 1,100 yards, 20 touchdowns to 65 carries. Really just had himself a game. The only mistake you could say he made was the interception he threw in the third quarter. Could have easily took the dump-off pass. Instead, he went for the home run ball. If he just throws it a second and a half earlier, he's got a wide-open receiver in the end zone. But other than that, I mean, the kid had himself a game, and that really puts it interesting. And now Iron Mountain can look at all these last two games and go, okay, do we take away the off-tackle, or do we try to stop this kid from the outside? Because either way, it looks like they're just going to take what we give them.
All right, so the big win for them, they go to the state semifinal. This game will be played at Petoskey High School, by the way. It won't be played in UP. Like, traditionally, sometimes some teams have to go up there, but how did they work that out? They just basically said, hey, what's fair is fair here?
I don't know. I actually texted the athletic director from Ubley and said, hey, when you find out where it's from, please let me know. And then I asked him, do you guys have any say in this? And he goes, not 100% sure how this works. I hope we will have some say in it so we don't have to go up to Marquette. As that was their biggest concern, was having to go to Marquette. Next text I got from him about 5 minutes later says, we're in Petoskey. That's all I know. So whatever strings he pulled, or if MHSAA said, hey, we're not going to do this to you guys, we're going to make them come down. And if you really look at it, it's an extremely neutral site. It's about 3 hours and 40 minutes for Ubley, and it's 4 hours for Iron Mountain. You can't get much more centrally located than that.
Yeah, so that'll be Saturday afternoon, and that will be at 1 o'clock kickoff. The pregame coverage, what time are we starting at on thumbtrailgetter.com?
12:30, Eddie. I love the talk.
Okay. I mean, sure, we will be able to fill it in, because there's a lot of info to talk about Iron Mountain, who Ubley will be facing. By the way, Iron Mountain fighting really hard to get to this point. They won a regional championship. They won by 1 point against Evart. Is that how you say it there, Mike?
I'm pretty sure it's Evart.
Evart?
Evart.
Yeah.
Okay. So they won 34-33. Iron Mountain did in that game. They do have. Go ahead.
That was an amazing comeback from Iron Mountain against Evart. They were down 27-6 in the second quarter and came back and won that game, and they stopped Evart with about 30 seconds to go from a 2-point conversion for possibly winning that. So you got to give all the credit to Iron Mountain. The back-to-back weeks, they were in some big-time games, some battle-tested games. This is a team that is battle-tested. You look at Ubley, you look at their schedule, and they just blown out everybody. You look at Iron Mountain, week one they lost to Negaunee, who's a Division VI team in the semifinals. And then you look at their last two games and go, wow, they played some tough opponents. It's looking like Iron Mountain's battle-tested, and it's looking like Ubley's cruising, so it's really which one's playing their best ball at the right time. It's tough to tell for this one.
Yeah, Iron Mountain's a pretty some pretty big schools. You talk Negaunee's a Class B size, and they are Division VI, and they're still in the playoffs themselves right now. They defeated Gladstone 18-12, so a week one loss against a team like that, they're known as the Miners, by the way. So, you know, they play some pretty tough teams throughout the season. Some of these teams, Ishramin is a very familiar name. They got the win over them. Of course, Bark River Harris is another team that, you know, pops up a lot. You know, they beat Ishramin in the playoffs. Yeah, and that was a resounding win, 42-6. And last year, by the way, Iron Mountain lost to Beale City 41-6, and of course Beale City is, of course, Ubley met in the playoffs there, Mike.
Yeah, you know, and looking at Iron Mountain, one thing that obviously stands out about Ubley this year is their defense. They've given up 77 points in 12 games now, and then you look at Iron Mountain, they've given up 109 points in 12 games, but 33 of those points came against Evart last week. So you kind of want to look at that. Okay, what did Evart do? You know, how did they put 27 points on the board in the first half and get out to that big lead? Well, Everett had 423 yards of total offense. Their quarterback was 18 of 25 for 249 yards and two touchdowns. Hmm. So to me, that says, hey, let's let Evan Peruski throw the ball around a little bit. You know, this Iron Mountain defense is obviously great because you take away that 33-point game last week and even the 16-point performance the week before. Their defense is very comparable to Ubley's. You know, they've had multiple shutouts. They've had multiple games where they just allow one touchdown. So you kind of got to look at, hey, what's going to be the way that we can kind of get an advantage here offensively? And, you know, that's not to say that Ubley can't just keep running the ball like they have, because, you know, maybe they can. Maybe they don't need to throw the ball around. But it would be interesting to see if, you know, this is the week where Evan Peruski gets to throw it around a little bit, and, you know, we can see the full potential of the Ubley offense.
You talk about Evan Peruski throwing it around, and that's one of my concerns coming in is, did Ubley show their hand too much against Fowler with what Peruski's capable of just doing on the ground? You know, if they were able to win that game, you know, just running up the middle like they've been all year, you know, you kind of save Peruski another week, and then you really maybe show him against Iron Mountain what he's capable of getting on the edge, because like you said, Everett, it was from what I heard and read, is Everett used their speed to get to the edge. Both running and throwing was where they were effective. Well, Evan Peruski can get to the edge, we've seen last week, and you wonder if Iron Mountain's going to get that game tape and go, okay, we know we got to stop him, we'll figure everything else, because apparently nobody's been able to run up the middle against them. We know Ishmael's a run first team between the tackles. They struggled this year. We know River Harris is probably more of a spread team, and they've had the second most success behind Everett against them. So it really questions, you know, did Ubley show their hand a week too soon against Fowler? Granted, they made Fowler look like next to nothing in a regional final game, and that's always concerning too. You know, that Ubley doesn't get ahead of themselves looking to the state championship.
I mean. You know, I hate to bring this up, but it seems like Iron Mountain's played a tougher schedule in the regular season here, Mike.
Oh, they have.
Yeah. That's probably fair to say. But, I mean, Ubley's also, you know, taking care of everybody that they've had to play, including a couple of
in the playoff teams. Right?
Yeah. You know, Saginaw MLS, that's a good team.
And you know, Harbor Beach, the second-best team in the Greater Thumb East, or maybe, to a small degree, maybe in Greater Thumb Conference, maybe the third-best team.
Yeah.
They got shut out by Ubley, too,
right,
which is a rare feat, right, JB?
Yeah, that's an extremely rare feat. I think it was only the second time it ever happened between those two teams. But, yeah, I did some math today. Iron Mountain did play a tougher schedule based off opponents' win percentage than Ubley. But you look at it, they were in a lot of close games. I mean, Houghton 28-6. That's not a blowout by any means. They lost in the
Class B size school, by the way, and you can never trust those gremlins.
No, you can't. Ishmael, the first time they met was just 28-8. Then Bark River Harris, 32-16, and Everett, 34-33. So this is a team that, you know, they've taken care of business also against the team they should, but it's never really blown the doors off of every team like Ubley has, because Ubley just simply has not been, you know, one to worry about the other team. They come out and they fire off all cylinders right away and they take care of business.
Yeah, something's been going on over at Ishmael Hematites. They've had some down years last 3 years, when traditionally, you know, every couple of years, you know, pretty decent, but they've had some pretty down years, I guess you could say. Kind of looking at some of these other teams, Bark River Harris, Class C size school. So, yeah, pretty decent there also. But, yeah. All right. And I'm working on some of the show prep from the Daily News, is what I was starting to find from the Iron Mountain Daily News, I believe. So I'm gathering some info on Iron Mountain, going back through the games here, getting a good read up on them also. And it's pretty good offense out there.
It looks like they're a very explosive offense. They got two guys, one by the name of Joe Colavecchi, I believe is how you pronounce the last name. Looks like he's the quarterback. Looks like his favorite receiver is Matt Cochevelli. They got a big fullback in Braden Farah, it looks like, and a dynamic or a running back, and I believe it's Lucas Wolf. So it looks like they got about five athletes that can really do what they want, and they're going to be an explosive team. Now, with that being said, Iron Mountain's known for running the ball out of the wing tee and the I formation, so we could very well see just an absolute battle in the trenches. And I think it's going to come down to whatever offensive line fires off the ball better and can sustain their blocks to really open up those holes for the running backs, whether it's in between the tackles or it's out on the edge for their quarterback.
They also have a field goal kicker, Brandon Farrell, a 27-yard field goal, I do believe, and he's a senior, to give the team a 17-0 lead heading into the second quarter. So always good to have special teams, but you're telling me Ubley also may have a chance to kick some field goals in this game.
Yeah, Ubley, they might have the best kicker. Well, we know they have the best kicker in the thumb. Brett Mueller, he's 81 of 83 on PATs, I believe, this year. He's 1-for-3 on field goal attempts, but when you talk about a field goal in high school football, Mike, it's practically like a punt, right?
Oh, it's tough, yeah. Well, and it's something you don't practice a lot. It's hard to, it's hard to be consistently good at kicking field goals at the high school level.
If you miss a field goal, though, it's practically a punt. If the ball goes in the end zone, the other team gets it at 20. If he kicks a 55-yard field goal and it gets downed at the 3,
that's
where the opponent gets the ball at.
So, really?
Yeah.
A field goal is practically a punt in high school football. So don't be surprised, you know, if Ubley gets across to the 45-yard line and Brett Mueller trots out there to try a 45-yard field goal, because Iron Mountain will not be getting the ball from there. They'll be getting it from the 20 or inside.
Well, Petoskey's located in the northwest corner of the Lower Peninsula, so there's some swirling winds coming from off the lake there in the Bay Area, and plus we're expecting maybe 1 to 3 inches of snow that day also, so the cold,
that'd be
everything.
Perfect, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Like from the frozen tundra, to kick in a field goal, so. All right.
Well, they're practically from Wisconsin.
Yeah. I noticed that they like the Packers up there a little bit more. So, yeah. Did we go through the full stat recap on Ubley that you had total yards for the running backs?
I didn't bring it up here yet.
Go ahead.
In that last game against Fowler, Ubley ran for 347 yards on 24 carries, 6 touchdowns. Like I said, Pruski led the way, 268 yards, 4 touchdowns. Seth Maurer, 6 carries, 45 yards and a touchdown. Mark Heilig, 6 carries, 23 yards and a touchdown. And their fullback, Aiden Lukowiak, who's their third leading rusher, did not get his first carry till the fourth quarter.
All right, there you go. The Ubley Bearcats up against the Iron Mountain Mountaineers. It's going to be a tough game here. State semifinal, Division 8, Petoskey High School. Take the trip. Or Stanley, Jonathan Bisher is inviting me to stay at the Bisher Lodge. I guess Bisher Lodging Cabin, is that what it is?
Yeah, we just call it the cabin.
Okay, the cabin. In Grayling, by the way. So, yeah, just a little over an hour drive there. So
not bad.
Yeah. All right, I want to thank the Bisher family for that, too. So, all right, we're going to check in with the weather coming up in just a bit. And when we come back, we've got a little bit to talk about the Lakers and, of course, the Brown City football eight-player team also. Both teams ended up losing, however, will not be moving on to the next round. But the coverage... connected with Sand Lake Broadcasting Sportsline, Thumbtuggeter Sports, thumbtuggeter.com on Channel 1, 12:30 noon this Saturday. Tune in for the Ubley Bearcats up against Iron Mountain Mountaineers team. We'll be right back here on WMIC for more Sportsline.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Stop by Jones Equipment, rental, sales, and service in Fort Gratiot today.
All right, welcome back to the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. Talked about the Ubley Bearcats, Division 8, state semifinal. They'll be up against Iron Mountain and Petoskey High School. Northmen, I do believe they're called up there, on a Saturday afternoon, 12:30 noon pregame. Kickoff at 1 p.m. on thumbtuggeter.com, Channel 1. As we move on, let's talk about the Lakers. Go ahead, JB.
Did you just call them the Northmen?
I thought so, too.
The Northmen, right?
It's the
Mountaineers.
The who?
The Mountaineers. Petoskey.
Their school.
Oh, Petoskey. Okay.
Petoskey's high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Or Petoskey High School. They're known as the Northmen, I do believe.
Okay.
Yeah. Not the Norsemen, though.
Right. Northmen. Not the Norsemen, yeah. Not the Sutton's Bay Norsemen.
No. You know, I thought about the mascot issue. I hate to bring it up right now.
Yeah.
Why don't they just add Red to the Red Phoenix so you can keep the Red name?
Yeah.
Somebody bring that up?
Bring up the Cornhuskers.
Yeah.
Ooh.
No, I want the Onion Kings. I
got the shirt.
Yeah.
All right.
No, the Sugar Kings. I mean, that'd be kind of interesting. Yeah. I mean, they're not really the Kings,
Some sugar beets are red.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to high school football coverage. The Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers are at New Lothrop. Tough loss for them, but once again, Ethan Wisner, man, he took over in that game once again and led that team in a comeback in the second half there, Jonathan.
Yeah, he gave it everything he got. I mean, he had 30 carries for 160 yards, two touchdowns. Not quite the performance he had in the district final against Montrose. A little rough through the air. You could tell he's not the quarterback normally. 0-for-9 passing. Most of those came at the end of the game when they were trying to score late. But the big one that really helped him keep in this game was Jay Sears. You got to believe 14 carries, 100 yards, and a touchdown. I believe he broke off like a 68-yard touchdown run in the third quarter that really sparked the offense. He's kind of that X factor we talked to. But New Lothrop, just too much to handle for Lakers. They dug themselves in too big of a hole late. There was a costly fumble in the beginning of the game. Everybody you talked to says it was a bad call. He was down before he fumbled it. But, hey, you got to play through it. And Lakers, heck of a season. Twice they've gotten knocked out in the regional final games. Give credit to Coach Levaster, really taking this program and taking it to the lengths that we haven't seen them at for back-to-back years in a little while.
Yeah, their schedule, they played Bad X twice, once earlier in the season, a tough, it was a resounding win, but still was a tough game, 32-14 win. I met him in the playoffs in the first round, and that was even tougher, but they got that 21-14. I thought it was a big win over Montrose, 28-14, and to this point, New Lothrop 20-29. So, oh man, just almost there. But does winning breed players to come out? Maybe Jonathan, and really, I guess, do the numbers come up? I mean, you're part of this ugly system where they seem like to consistently have good teams consistently. You know, maybe near. Or obviously in the last several years, way above the 500 mark.
I think you can really attest to that winning gets more kids on the team.
In a nice facility, right?
Yeah.
In a nice facility. I think Mike can really attest to this. You know, Croslex basketball is a team that's really turned around. Their numbers are always up. Same thing with their football. I think you can really attest to winning makes kids come out and play, which allows for these programs really to get established. And it looks like Coach Levaster has gone in there. He's established we're going to be a winning team no matter who we got, healthy or banged up. You know, last year he did it without Ethan Wisner. This year he makes the run in the playoffs without his quarterback, Connor McCain. So you look at this, Lakers has made these two runs without a complete team also. You got to give them all the credit in the world.
You want to say something?
Well, and, you know, I think when you look at Lakers last season, when they went into the postseason and their first matchup was against Reese, I think that was a situation where, you know, Reese was the favorite because Reese beat him in the regular season 27-18. And then to see Lakers turn it around and win 49-6, I think it was a little bit unexpected. And then to go on and beat a good Hemlock team, a team that beat Bad X, I believe, in the first round of playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then, like we said earlier, to hang around with Paywamo, Westphalia, I think last season was a great postseason run for them, but I think it was a little bit unexpected. And you go into the postseason this year, you're sitting at 8-1. You play Bad X again. This was a situation where Lakers was the favorite, you know. And, you know, it was a great job by them to go out and take care of business. It's hard to beat a team twice, especially when it's your rival and when the first game was so close. And then to beat a team like Montrose, that's another team. We said it with New Lothrop. Montrose is always in that playoff conversation as well. And, you know, to lose to a team like New Lothrop, there's no shame in that. Same thing with last season, losing to Paywamo, Westphalia, no shame in that.
By the way, that's who New Lothrop beat to face Lakers at that point last week. They beat
Palomo. Yeah, so really just a great job for Levasseur to not only have that regular season success, because you look at last season, you know, they lose to Ubley and they lose to Reese, and that's it. And then this year to only lose to Essexville Garber in the season finale. It's nice to see that regular season success, but then to also go into the playoffs and bring home some district hardware.
All right. By the way, that regular season loss to Garber for Lakers 34-21, Garber plays in this Tri-Valley Conference that consists of Swan Valley. That was a loss for Garber, 21-27. They lost to them in the playoffs in the first round also, so Garber knocked out in the first round. But Garber plays Frankenmuth. They play Freeland.
Yeah.
So that's a tough team to put on your schedule there. And I, you know, salute of the hat to Lakers for doing that. Apparently, just wanted to see where they were at, and you know, they found out.
And that's what the good teams do. You're not necessarily worried about going 9-0 or you know beating up on some terrible team in your season finale or in your non-conference games. The good teams go out and they find good teams to play because that's how you get better, and that's what prepares you for the postseason.
Give credit to Garber scheduling Lakers. The way how this new playoff system works, they didn't get a whole lot of points from Lakers being a Division VII school. Garber could have very easily went and scheduled a Division IV or Division III school and tried to get more playoff points that way. But, you know, I want to take a moment and recognize these bigger schools coming down and scheduling these Division VII and VIII schools because, you know, who's a Division VI school that wants to come play an Ubley or a Lakers, for example, hardly get any playoff points for them, potentially lose the game on top of it, rather when they can go play a Division IV school and get a bunch of playoff points for them. I mean, that's just my thought process. Yeah. So this new playoff system's a little flawed. Credit Garber for scheduling Lakers. It's a nice close game for them. And you'd like to see some of more of these big Division V and VI and IV schools maybe come into the thumb and play a tough opponent like an Ubley, like the Lakers, like a Harbor Beach year in and year out.
Yeah, I mean,
Croslex Ubley, put it on the schedule.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Hey, we wanted
to do
Lakers
it. Come on.
We had a chance for it this year.
The Lakers the last couple years played Ubley the last couple years. This year, they didn't play Harbor Beach or Ubley this year, but they had Cass City on that schedule.
They are on the schedule for next year.
There you go.
Okay. I'm
excited about that one.
Yeah.
Put that one on the map.
Yeah.
So, all right. So the Lakers, a salute to the hat. Just another step right here, you know, just, you know, that roadblock. When you get to that New Lothar or Pohuamo team, man, those are the kings.
But they're right there. That's the thing. You know, it's a nine-point game against New Lothar. And, you know, last year, I know it's 20-0, but that game was a lot closer than 20-0.
20-0 is like you're still in that game.
Yeah.
You're still in that game. Even with one quarter left, you're still in that game.
Mm-hmm.
It was 6-0 at halftime, I believe.
Yeah. So
you're right there. But the only thing for Lakers, I mean, if you would have got through New Lothrop, I would give you all the credit in the world. But, man, did you have a tough task this next week with Travis City St. Francis, and it was nice knowing you knew Lothrop.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to talk about the Brown City Green Devils. They did lose to Martin 42-8. We have a little piece of an interview here that Mike Gallagher is graciously going to let us play on the air, and we'll talk about that Brown City Green Devil team also.
Egregiously or graciously?
Graciously.
If it was egregiously, then maybe I shouldn't let you play.
Graciously. Graciously.
Yeah. That's right.
Man, is your hearing just as bad as mine right now?
Maybe it is. I don't know.
Right. And my eyesight's bad right now. So,
Well, that's why you're running the board, huh?
Yes. I might have to have Ashley run the board. I can't see it, Ashley. I can't see it. It's like, all right. We'll be right back. Jonathan Bisher, Eddie Fury of you, along with Mike Gallagher of the San Lake County News. Jonathan Bisher from Thumb Chugger Sports. We'll be right back.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Stop by Jones Equipment, rental, sales, and service in Fort Gratiot today.
All right, welcome back to the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. Eddie Fury View, if you go in overtime, you're going in overtime here.
Sorry, Jesse Kelly.
Yeah. All right, Jonathan Bishop from Thumbchuggeter Sports with me. Mike Gallagher, the San Lake County News front page is?
Brown City and Marlette. I mean, we talked about both of them a little bit already.
Marlette girls volleyball team and Brown City eight-player
football
team.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a lot of pictures in this week, and that's always nice. So, and then we'll be shifting our focus to all-county stuff, all-thumb stuff.
Yeah.
Got some Legion hockey this Friday and Saturday.
What? Already?
Already, yep.
I saw that the first game in basketball, I do believe, around the 29th, I do believe.
Yeah.
The end of November.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
So, really looking forward to the hockey season. So,
go ahead.
We're not starting until January broadcasting, I think.
Are you sure? Because
there's a lot of good games.
There's a lot of good games, Jonathan.
Yeah.
I think that's a problem. Me and Ashley will probably do a couple games in December.
Yeah, you're
well,
because
you know
to.
There's going to be a long break. You know, there's a couple games in the first couple weeks, and then you're off for holidays. So,
yeah.
I'm really excited about this Little Caesars Arena game.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. And I was kind of mapping it out. You know, we talk a lot about Al DeMont and his success.
Yeah.
We all know that he's potentially going to be going – well, he is going to be going to potentially break the state record for wins in a season. So I got the schedule. I was kind of mapping it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a chance he breaks a record at LCA. So
really?
That would be cool. What I'm hoping – I mean, I don't want Al to lose, but I would – be cool if he dropped a couple games here or there at the beginning of the season, so then he could break the record on Al DeMont Court. I think that would be a little more appropriate.
Yeah.
I think there would be a lot more people at that. But, you know, hey, you know, doing it at LCA would be pretty cool, too.
So Deckerville and Sandusky girls and boys basketball teams are playing at the Little Caesars Arena December 28th. Get your tickets because that will include a Pistons ticket.
Yeah.
I won't be able to be going to the Pistons game. I'll be going to Seven Dust concert at the Majestic that very same night.
There you go. So, lots going on in Detroit.
Yeah. And bowling at the Majestic, too.
Did you want to do those games on there, Eddie, and then catch the Pistons game? But it looks like I got my answer already.
We are playing on stand-up broadcast and just looking at it.
You can still do the games.
So we're planning on doing it.
Yeah.
So you're looking at it. So
should be good games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So the Brown City High School 8-player football game, they went to the state semifinal, a very first for the Brown City Green Devils in 8-player football. First year in 8-player football. Won their first regional championship also. They came in at the Martin Clippers, who were probably one of the perennial powers, up to the regional point, trying to get over that hump to get to the state semifinal. They did that with the win over Adrian Lenaway Christian the week before. And then they hosted Brown City. Long drive for us, almost 4-hour drive, 3 hours, 45 minutes, because when you stop for a bathroom breaks in our car, something to eat and drink, load up on gas. We almost ran out of gas, but thankfully there was a Nashville in Michigan that we were able to find and stop at. And then trucked our way over.
It's a good thing you didn't need gas in Martin, because there wasn't.
There's not a bar.
Yeah,
there's a church.
Not a lot
there's
going
a
on in Martin. Yeah, yeah. A very nice high school. Great facilities. Great football team. But not a whole lot else going on in Martin.
So the score was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. Just 7-point score for Martin, but it was a 21-0 lead. Brown City got into the red zone a couple times in that first. I just could not get it in. Past that mark. Good job by Martin Clippers. Able to stop defensively, but Brown City made some big plays. It got us excited. So we thought, okay, they got to make these adjustments when they go into halftime. Not allow Martin to score at the end of the half, but they ended up letting that happen. That's where you got that 7 points, where there was almost no points being scored in that second quarter there.
Yeah, and I think that was the key point in the game, because Brown City had put together a great drive. They drove it all the way down to the Martin 22-yard line.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's where they stalled out. And there was about 5 minutes on the clock. And, you know, on the first two scores from Martin, we saw these, you know, kind of explosive plays. So the second touchdown, I believe, was a 75-yard touchdown run by the Martin quarterback. But what we saw on that drive from Martin was they chewed up almost all of that clock. You know, there was over 5 minutes on the clock, and they didn't end up punching it in until there was 25 seconds left in the half, which, you know.
Yeah,
looking
at the scoring right there, that hurt. That was
a great drive. That was a great drive by Martin to not only punch in another score, but also, you know, it's going to be tough for Brown City to respond with only 25 seconds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you get up by 3 scores, and, you know, when I talked to Coach Cooper, he said when we were at 14-0, you know, we were feeling okay because, you know, we've been able to score points this year. But, you know, once you get up 21-0 and then, you know, Martin gets the ball to start the second half, you got to start getting stops.
Yeah.
And, you know, Martin was just, they weren't going to be stopped. I mean,
Brown City was able to stop him once, and that was the opportunity.
They stopped him in the first half. And, you know, Brown City, all day, they put together nice offensive drives, but it was a penalty here, a penalty there, you know, a sack, a tackle for loss. It was just always something that put him behind the sticks, and that's not where Brown City wants to be.
Yeah, and in most instances, they were beyond the 35-plus yard line with the returns or even the kickoff. They still were able to get it almost near midfield to start off with.
Yeah.
Just couldn't get, you know.
Well, and it was the same thing from the defense. We saw the defense make a lot of great plays for Brown City, but it was always just one play. It was always one big play. And, you know, it's unfortunate because that game could have went very differently, I think. Now, I do think Martin was a dang good football team, and it would have things would have had to go pretty perfectly for Brown City to win this one. But I do think Brown City wishes they had another shot at them because it wasn't Brown City's best game. And, you know, if you know, you don't have those penalties, if you're maybe able to get a stop at the end of the first half, we could be talking about Brown City in the state finals. And I know that hurts, but, you know, Brown City, you know, once they get over that, they're going to be able to look back on this season and really realize what they were able to do and, you know, how much fun they had while they were doing it. They provided us with a lot of great games and a lot of great memories. And, you know, they can build off of this going into next season.
So the first quarter, Martin scores first at the 5:48 mark. That's with that much time left, by the way. Number 24, Sam Jaeger, 14 yards, touchdown. Point after kick, by the way, most of their point after points were kicks.
Yeah,
so
they had a good place kicker.
Yeah, and he was actually the other running back, the actual true running back, Carter Ribble, although the quarterback ran a lot. And speaking of the quarterback, with 1:23 left in the first quarter, J.R. Hildebrand, number 2, 75 yards. That was a big play. That was something that Brown City really wanted to stop is big plays from this team, which you're capable of doing. That was a big one. 75 yards for a touchdown. The point after kick was good. It was 14-0 with about a minute 20 left in that first quarter.
Yeah, that quarterback was extremely impressive for Martin.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I think the best way to describe Martin's offense is it was very similar to what we saw from Kingston this year when Owen Corliss was playing. And, you know, a lot of motion, a lot of, you know, read options, stuff like that. And when you have a quarterback like that that can run it and throw it and can make those reads, that's very hard to stop. Because even if you stop him, you know, on first and second down, he's always going to have that ability to make the right read and make the right call and, you know, break off a big play. And, you know, he was a great quarterback. But I will say Kyle Affer was the best player on the field on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, both offensively and defensively. He finished with 123 yards, and I would be willing to bet 100 of those yards came after contact. He was fighting all day. I mean, he was
breaking
tackles.
Every time.
Yeah.
5 yards every time, man.
And there was a couple times where it was just one little shoestring tackle away from being a touchdown. So I was glad to see him get in the end zone at the end of the game. And he was fantastic defensively as well.
I remember hearing the Martin defensive coaches out there. He goes, grab those ankles!
Right,
you know, they were yelling out there, you know, because if you didn't, Kyle Affer is still moving.
But that was the impressive thing about Martin was there was...
It took two guys to bring him down. Three guys to make the finishing tackle.
Right.
Against
but there
Kyle
was
Affer.
There was always 2 to 4 guys
focused on Kyle Affer.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they were very good at getting off of blocks. They were a very fast team.
Yeah.
And they didn't necessarily have a size advantage. I would
no,
say
didn't.
Brown City had the size
they
advantage.
Did. Yeah.
But Martin was, they were very good at what they did. They got off blocks. They flew to the football. It wasn't just one-on-one Kyle Affer against a Martin linebacker. Mm-hmm. It was Kyle Affer versus, you know, 3 or 4 Martin players.
Yeah, you're saying they're a little bit smaller. By the way, J.R. Hildebrand, 4 touchdown runs.
Yeah.
He had one in the third quarter for 41 yards. That was a big one. He can pass, too. He passed to Carter Ribble for 25 yards. Ribble helped himself also with a yak after the catch.
That was a beautiful throw, though.
It was.
That was
and
was
he was
great
throwing,
throw.
like, a window with two defenders.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, this is a gutsy player. He knew what he was doing there.
Right.
Also, Hildebrand got the last touchdown of the game for 18 yards with a touchdown. Kyle Afric got the score for Brown City in the fourth quarter at the 9:42 mark, 34-8. We want to thank, by the way, the clock keeper, because Brown City had the ball with 25 seconds left. They actually were driving down the field pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
1 second left for Brown City to have an opportunity to try to score before the end of the half.
Yeah.
And you can hear
that
some of the Martin staff go, boo.
Yeah.
I goes,
hey,
man.
Yeah, give him a shot.
I call it. You know, there was time on the clock, and I stopped it. I heard that whistle. He said, they're yelling at me. He goes, hey, dude, we're used to it.
So, yeah.
Jonathan, your take on this Brown City team. You know, amazing what they did through the season. They did lose to Martin earlier in the season. You thought maybe they've learned a lot from it. But Martin also learned a lot also against Brown City, and they made their adjustments. So when you lose to a good team like Martin, you're thinking, okay, you know what, we got to fix. And they did. But so Martin played better. And I want to say that the coach said, we said, hey, congratulations to the Martin coach. He goes, hey, by the way, you know, good hits. I mean, man, you hit the best player there ever really hard. He goes, the coach said this. He goes, he hit us harder.
Yeah.
Because we saw a lot of players from Martin get up slowly throughout the game at the end of the game. But he goes, no. Kyle, who's at number 30? Yeah, he goes, that African hit us harder. So,
yeah.
Jonathan, about this game, give me your take.
I just, like you said, looked like, you know, I talked to you and Mikey and Phil right after that Saturday, that quarter, you said the quarterback was legit, could do anything he wanted. But, you know, it's interesting to say that Mikey thought Afric was the best player. And I just want to make this point out, you know, Kyle Afric is a heck of a ball player. And to all these schools in the thumb, if you are struggling to field a team, an 11 player, and are getting the living snot beat out of you week in and week out, Brown City just gave you a prime example of why you should jump down to 8 player. You got one or two athletes. Go down there, have the success, rebuild your program, because it just brings all this excitement back to some. I mean, when was the last time we were all this excited about Brown City football?
That's a good point.
Yeah, we knew there was potential there last season. It just never really came to fruition.
It was like red zone potential, but stopped at the red zone.
Right.
You know?
Because they run into the powerhouse teams like Ubley and like Lakers and like Harbor Beach. Go down there to 8-player football, reestablish this program. Maybe you get your numbers back up, and maybe you can come back to 11-man in a couple of years. But, I mean, I don't want to call out these schools, but, man, when you're forfeiting games in the middle of the season because you so-called don't have enough players, just swallow the pride, go to 8-man football, because it is fun, it is exciting. We love it as the coverage area people to go cover it, because, man, points are scored. You get to see guys like Kyle Afric just ball out, which an 11-player, he would have been shattered by so many good players in the area. But now here he is getting votes as potentially the top player in the area, because he just had a stellar season that we probably would have never have thought of him an 11-player. So coaches, school board, do that for your school. Do that for your community. Bring the excitement back to the community about football. Go to 8-player if you need to.
All right. Despite the loss for Brown City, Kyle Afric, like you said, Mike Gallagher, 19 carries, 123 yards, one touchdown. Ethan Worrell, 3 of 6. I say Ethan Worrell. I think this was a factor. You didn't have Lawson Cooper out there. He was out shoulder injury.
Yeah,
that's a factor. You're missing a big piece there.
That was unfortunate, because what we saw from Lawson Cooper the last couple of games was he was really emerging as a star player for Brown City. He was the leading rusher in the win against Deckerville. And when you're rushing for more yards than Kyle Affer and Clint Ford, you're pretty talented. And, you know, when we had Coach Cooper and Coach Sheridan in here earlier this season, you know, Coach Cooper said, you know, he deals the cards. You know, he knows the offense. And
he can read defense.
Right. And, you know, that's not to take anything away from Ethan Worrell, because I thought he had a good game. It was a very tough position for him to get put into. The conditions for throwing the ball weren't that great on Saturday. But I think he did all right. It's just a very tough spot to be put in. And we saw it on the first drive. There was a couple of fumbles. But after that, he really settled in. He had a great game defensively. I believe he had 5 or 6 tackles. That definitely hurt. That definitely hurt not having Lawson back there at quarterback.
Yeah, because Ethan Worrell, if he was used on offense, he's a big kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good blocker, too. You know,
we saw at the beginning of the season, both of them kind of split time.
Yeah.
But, you know, Lawson kind of emerged as the guy, and, you know, Ethan was, you know, such a good defensive back that, you know, you're okay with him focusing on, you know, playing just defense. And we saw that pay off.
Yeah.
We saw that pay off in the, was it Sutton's Bay or Messick game when he had the late interception. So he made a lot of plays defensively. And I think he played just fine on Saturday at quarterback.
161 yards rushing, 22 passing yards for Brown City to Martin's 298 yards and 94 yards passing. Pretty well balanced offense there. 18 first downs for Martin, 13 for Brown City. So like we said,
they moved the ball.
They moved the ball well.
Yep.
They moved the ball well. Just couldn't get over that past 25-yard mark.
Does it have penalties for Brown City?
4 penalties for 30 yards, 5 penalties for Martin, but 55 yards.
Okay. I just feel like the penalties just came at such
drive killers. Yeah, because there was a 3rd-and-1 situation, and
The false start on 3rd and short, and then there was also late in the game. Well, kind of later in the game, they had I believe it was 4th and long, and they actually picked it up, and then it got called back for holding.
Yeah,
the mistakes just came at the worst possible times.
Don't put your heads down, Brown City. Regional championship game.
Yeah, not at all.
Great. It was great. A great run. I mean, not many teams could get to that regional championship game as it is right now in the ACC. Because eight-player football has now grown so much.
It's getting tougher and tougher each year, and we keep seeing these great powerhouse programs come in from, Division VIII. Mendon, they're playing in the Division II finals, I think. So, I mean, we're seeing these traditionally powerful teams making the move, and every year it gets tougher and tougher. But you know, that's why it's great to see Sanilac County still being one of the front runners for 8-player football in the state of Michigan.
So I'm going to close with this interview that you did, John. If you want to point anything out before we let you go,
don't be surprised if we get a third division added in 8-player football.
We need it.
We do. Give me your take first, Jonathan. Give me your take on that.
Like you guys said, it's getting so hard to make the playoffs that a third division needs to get added, especially if a couple schools join this year. And it just is going to have to happen. I mean, you're looking at since they started the second division, probably the amount of schools that have come in, it has almost doubled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're starting to see these Division 8 powerhouses. Adrian Lenoway, Christian, Mendon are all starting to, you know, teams that make semifinal runs and jump to 8-player. It needs to happen to have a third division.
And there were actually powerhouses in Division 8.
Right.
At one point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when we first went to 8-player football in the state of Michigan, it was for these smaller schools that could not field teams anymore. They couldn't compete against the larger schools. When in the first year we saw CPS and Owengage and Akron Fairgrove, and now it's getting to the point where it's tough for those small schools to not only make it into the playoffs. I mean, we saw last year a 6-3 Bay City All Saints team not make the postseason. And I think we just need to add that third division to give these smaller schools another opportunity to start making, you know, some playoff pushes. If you go to the three divisions, JB, do you think we go to 7 divisions and 11 player? Because we keep pulling from Division 8 and pulling teams down, and eventually I think you're going to have to make that adjustment.
I would agree. If Division 3 and 8 player comes, Division 8 and 11 man goes, the only other thing MSSA could do is just say these schools that are making these playoff runs a year in and year out, 8 player in Division 8 that elect to go 8 player, that has to stop. There is no need for you to do that. There's a couple of schools that go to state semifinals back-to-back years, and all of a sudden they're 8-player and won 3 straight titles.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need for that. It's, like you said, meant for these smaller schools that are struggling to field a team. So let's keep it at that. Let's not let these schools go down there. Like Brown City was struggling to field a team. They are not making playoffs runs. They're allowed to go to 8-player. The teams that are making playoff runs that go to 8-player, unnecessary. But like you said, if Division 3 and 8-man happens, Division 8 is going to go in 11-player, which you really wondered. So Ubley bumps up to Division 7. What kind of chain reaction does that have? Mm-hmm. Does the Traverse City St. Francis move to Division 6 now?
do Croslex and North Branch from Division 4 move to Division 3 now? How is that going to affect everything then?
Yeah, I think it would be a pretty monumental shift.
Yeah.
But I would be interested to see how many more teams drop down to 8-player after this season, because
yeah.
after you know the first couple years, schools were hesitant to make the move, but we're seeing it every year. There's a handful of teams that make the move every year.
And there was a team that, despite their great record, didn't make the playoffs because they were too big.
Right.
In 8-player football,
yeah.
North Point Christian.
Yeah, yeah, that was I'd like to know what the story is with them, because that seems like a team that could compete at the 11-player level. I kind of thought the same thing about Toledo Christian, too.
Mm.
I don't know if that's a situation where they couldn't play at the bigger Toledo schools.
North Point Christian, I believe, if I hear this correctly, they co-op with another school.
Okay.
Too big for 8-player football.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why they're 8-man that don't make the playoffs. With that being said, it'd probably be 11-man co-oping.
Yeah.
So if they do this move, you think to add another division, they have to do it four divisions, because you got to have your Friday and Saturday nights state championship games like you do at Ford Field. You have them all Friday and Saturday.
Two divisions, they'll have an 11 o'clock game, a 2 o'clock game, and like a 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock
game.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
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 All right. So we are going to play the interview. Jonathan, I'm going to let you go. I'll see you soon.
Yep. I got some logistics to figure out for this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. See you, man.
Yep. Hey, guys.
All right. Jonathan Bishop from Thumbtogether Sports. I'll be helping him out, the Thumbtogether Sports crew, for our coverage of the Ubley at Iron Mountain being played at Petoskey High School this Saturday afternoon, 12:30 noon. All right, so this interview you conducted with Aaron Cooper, obviously disappointed in loss, but how do you feel being there, first of all?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, he's always great with his interviews, and I'm always appreciative of the time that he gives me after the games, and it's always tough interviewing a coach after a loss like that, but I think he had a lot of insight to the season this year, the seniors on this team, and yeah, I think it's a everybody kind of just ignore my part of the interview while I stumble through my questions, and then just
and the wind, by the way.
Well, yeah, the wind as well. Yeah,
it was quite cold and windy. So
it was a little windy. Yeah, but I think I'm probably gonna hop off as well. I don't know if we're coming back after the interview, but just great season. It's been a lot of fun doing the Sports Line show with you. I'm gonna convince you to do it through the winter, because we're gonna. I know you. You don't
really,
but we have to.
What day do we do it? Just Monday.
Yeah, I mean Monday.
Does that work for
that's
you?
That's fine. Yeah, because I mean, there's a lot to talk about this year. We got some great basketball teams. We got some great wrestlers. We got some in Legion hockey. I mean, I could talk about Legion hockey all day, man. So we're gonna bring Sportsline back, for those of you wondering. I'm making an executive decision
here. No, if you enjoy doing it,
I love doing it. Yeah, so, and you know, I'd like to get some more coaches involved in the future.
Yeah.
And you know, I think you made the right decision moving it to Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because I you never saw me Saturday morning.
No,
so.
No, it was tough. It was tough for me too.
Right,
still is. But
I'm looking forward to continuing it. We got Legion hockey this Friday and Saturday. I would encourage everybody to come check them out. Tons of Sanilac County kids on the team.
Yeah,
lots of talented players, and should be a fun season.
All right, thank you, Mike Gallagher from the Sanilac County News. He's making the call. Sportsline continues on.
Yes, it does. Yes.
In the winter, we'll take a mini break here after the football season, but it's going to be a very short break.
Yeah.
So, okay, here's the interview that Mike Gallagher from the Sanilac County News did with Aaron Cooper of Brown City. This will be our closing segment before I come back to close things up here. Jesse Kelly is coming up also after this.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Stop by Jones Equipment, rental, sales, and service in Fort Gratiot today.
I think I got it.
All right, Coach, tough way to see the season come to an end. What was the difference today, and what did you see from your guys?
Really, to be quite honest, today it was a better team. Martin was just a better team. And I think he's been here twice, and it happened twice. I just got to admit, they're just a better team. We tried to do a couple things to move the ball a little bit better. They're so good at getting off blocks, and they swarmed the ball so hard. They just executed better than us. And for the first time all year in whatever it was, 12 games that we played, we had penalties. We had kind of some misplays that really set us back. The one thing our offense is not good at is 4th and long, 4th and 12, 4th and 17, I think we had a 4th and 13. And they'll just eat you up if you get in those positions where they can stay 3 high. So that's kind of what happened, and they got us. They're good.
You guys, I thought you guys moved the ball well in the first half. I thought the defense did well. The second touchdown was kind of just a big 75-yard run. But I think the big play was the touchdown right before the half. That was about a 5-minute drive. How important was that score for Martin, especially going into the half and getting the ball to start the second half?
Yeah, I think that was the key, knowing that they got the ball. At the time, it was only 14-0, and you know, it was points we've scored throughout the season. That didn't worry us too much, but yeah, getting that next touchdown and then knowing they come back after the half, we made a big point at halftime. Hey, we got to find a way. I don't know. We got to do whatever we need to get that stop. And we weren't able to do that, and that really kind of triggered it there once they got up 28-0 in the second half. But we responded, moved the ball a little bit more, but again, just some penalties and just couldn't get anything rolling consistently.
Mm-hmm. Final game for a senior group that we've talked about a lot this year. They had a major effect on your team this season. What can you say about that group and what they've meant to the program?
Yeah, I love that group of guys. I just told them here as we kind of sent them out how important it was to not only have the success they had, but really help us build that foundation and that kind of culture and kind of attitude that we've been trying to do since I got here, and set the example for the younger guys to see how to practice and how to really get in the mode where you can compete at a high level. And now those younger guys see the next step. You know, they got to see it firsthand and get those feelings of what it's like when you don't get it done. So I told them, we'll start Monday getting ready for next year.
Yeah. You finished the year 10-2 with your 2 losses coming to Martin, one of them being in the state semifinals. What are your final thoughts on this season and this team?
It was an awesome season, really. That group of seniors and really just a mix of younger guys with them. To see what the community, got behind us as we made a little run and had some success, and then we're able to host some home playoff games. And just a really good season, a fun season. And then on a personal note, getting to have my own son be part of the team and be part of a success like that was a lot of fun to see from a dad as well as a coach.
It was kind of interesting to follow this whole move to 8-player as it kind of came together. Obviously came together a little bit late in the spring, kind of scrambled to put together a schedule. But to be able to have this success right off the bat, what does that say about the decision to make move to 8-player?
Yeah, I think it clearly shows it was the right decision. Like I've said all along with anyone who asked that question, our admin and the people who made those decisions really tried to dig deep and make sure it was in the best interest of the kids. That's really all that mattered. And firsthand, we got to see that it just puts kids in a position where, when you have a smaller group of kids, the 8-man is just so much better because you can compete at a higher level in practice. The accountability is better because you're not begging kids to come play football to fill a roster and get a group of kids. Throughout the whole season, we had 16 just super committed kids. We never had to worry about where they were or why they're not at practice. And when you have that, you can get great practices, and you're going to compete at a much higher level on Friday nights. So that was a lot of fun.
Obviously, losing a very talented group of seniors, but as you mentioned, these younger guys have filled in some roles during the season, including Austin at quarterback. How do you feel about the future of the program?
I'm excited about it. Yeah, it's not going to be easy to replace a Clint and a Kyle and Justin and those linemen and just all of that senior class has been awesome. But, yeah, like I've said, you kind of see that next group coming around, and they've seen it firsthand on what it takes to get to that level. So I'm excited. I think defensively, obviously, Justin Klein is one of our big tackles, and then Clint on the back end. But up until the playoffs, really, Kyle didn't play a whole lot of defense. Callen was gone most of the year and didn't play. So if you look at it, we have, you know, 6-7 guys returning from a defense that improved throughout. And I hope next year that might be kind of our thing to hang our hat on. Let's be a defensive team and then find a way to keep putting up points.
Yeah. All right, that's all I got for you, Coach.
Right, I appreciate it. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
All right, thank you, Mike Gallagher, the Sand Lake County News, on the interview he did and conducted with Aaron Cooper. Congratulations to Brown City. Making it that far, state semifinal. Thank you to Martin Clippers also for being great hosts to us for Sand Lake broadcasting that game, of course, on WBGV 92.5 FM. I'll edit that down and post it. I was able to record the game. We had another event going on the other stations. Usually we use the other stations' computers to record the game, but I'll get that uploaded by tomorrow. Sportsline and what we talked about today, either going to be a replay or won't run tomorrow, but it will be posted on our website, sandlakebroadcasting.com. I'll put the link up on our Facebook and all that stuff on the website when we get it done also. So thank you for tuning in to Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. Soon to be just regular Sportsline. Might need a new name for the show. All right, but our Sportsline partners, thumbtoegetter.com, actually it's my website, Webcast Network, Jonathan Bishop running it. Ashley Winter Palmer, Mike Smith, Phil Nickel, John Crazier, Brandon Deacon's helping out, Jonathan's brother-in-law helping out also. And to all the coaches and the other media continues to send their stuff over to us so we can just share the information and get it out there on this show. Shout out to Scott Bowlesby, the Tuscola County Advertiser, Nathan Marks of the Minden City Herald, Tom Green, Huron Daily Tribune, Paul Adams of the Huron County View, president of the Thumb Sports Writers Media Association, Clark Ramsey from WLEW Media also. Thank you all for your help here on Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. Thank you for tuning in, folks. Jesse Kelly Show will be joined in progress.